Church, it's great to see you this morning. Thank you very much for being a part of our services today. We do have a great crowd here this morning. I am so excited to be able to be a part of it with you. I do understand that I believe we're down on our live stream, so if somebody is trying to reach you and let you know that it's the internet's fault, so to speak. So it's not ours here at Azalea City. And all we can control is what we can control, right? Appreciate Jeff reading to us from Matthew 6. That's right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount is the greatest sermon ever preached, right? We know that. And the reason it's the greatest sermon ever preached is because it's by the greatest preacher of all time, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus was so ahead of all of the thoughts and all of the plans because He's God, right? He understood exactly where He was going with His lesson here and with His public ministry. He knew that ultimately it was going to lead to the cross. And as David pointed out, you know, most importantly, the resurrection. And because of that, He was going to overcome death, and He was going to overcome sin. And we were going to be able to live eternally. And so when He is teaching this Sermon on the Mount, He is letting them know that the law is not going to be written on stones anymore. It's going to be written on the heart. And so because of that, you need to understand some things. And so He goes through this list of things that, you know, they were used to, the Ten Commandments. And then He takes and He says, for instance, if you know it's wrong to murder, but now I say to you, if you hate your brother or sister, you've already murdered them in your heart. And so He's talking about the heart, and He's going deeper there, and He's challenging them to be the salt of the earth and light of the world. And when it's where Jeff read from, He's talking about necessities. He's talking about the needs we have. And He's letting us know that God knows. God knows your needs. God knows exactly what we need, and that is food, clothing, and shelter. Now, in all of that, He didn't promise us that we're going to eat filet mignon every night, right? He didn't promise us that we're going to be dressed in designer suits and clothes. He didn't promise us that we're going to live in 10,000 square foot mansions. But He did promise us food, clothing, and shelter. And because of that, He steps out and He says in verse 33, you got to seek first the kingdom of God. You got to seek first His righteousness. Then those things are going to be added to you. And then He talks about don't worry. How do we do this, Jesus? How do we do what Jesus taught us? Well, the first thing we got to understand is He called us to be those living stones. And because we're living stones, we're plugged into the chief cornerstone, who is Jesus. So the first part of this year, in talking about that, we're talking about living like Jesus. You know what Jesus lived like? He lived by faith. Now, Jesus had sight, right? He had been to heaven. He understood all those things. But He still acted with His faith. He showed us what faith looks like. And so today, as we enter into this lesson, we're going to talk about being faithful and faith-filled. The Christian life is a journey of faith. It's a journey. I'd love to tell you that as soon as you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and you come up out of the waters of baptism and God has contacted you with the blood of Jesus, that you're never going to have to struggle again. But see, that's where faith comes in. That's where seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness comes in. That's where studying comes in. That's where prayer comes in. That's where worship comes in. Devoting ourselves to God, because we are on a journey. And it's all about our faith. Trusting in God. Walking in obedience to that trust. And what does that do? It helps us grow spiritually. Again, Jesus is our ultimate example in everything. So obviously He's our ultimate example in being faithful. If we're going to be the living stones that God called us to be, we've got to plug into Jesus Christ. If we're going to plug into Jesus Christ, we're going to plug into His faith. Hebrews 12:2. It's a beautiful chapter, beautiful verse. The Hebrew writer said they're looking to Jesus. Again, He's our example. He is the one we look to. Looking to Jesus, listen to this, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Think about that. Jesus founded our faith and then He perfected it. Today, as we get into this lesson, we're going to talk about being faithful. What do y'all mean by faithful? Consistent in our devotion to God. That's what faithfulness is. We're going to be consistent in our devotion to God. And then we're going to talk about being filled with faith or faith-filled. What does that mean? Trusting completely in God's promise. Let's get into it. Number one, we're talking about being faithful today. We're talking about living a life of obedience and commitment. Faithfulness starts in our relationship with God. Matthew 22, verse 37. We know that passage, right? Jesus is being questioned there. What is the greatest commandment? Again, they were trying to catch Him in something. Again, they're thinking 10 commandments or 617 commandments that are total in the Old Testament. And so what does Jesus say? He says, I'm going to give you two of them. Here they are. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Of course, the second is love your neighbor as yourself. But that first commandment there, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. In other words, love Him with everything you have. That's about relationship, right? If I'm going to love God, I've got to love Him completely. I can't just love Him a little bit and be good enough. I can't just love Him a lot of bit and be good enough. I got to love Him completely. And so if I'm going to love God completely, it's going to help me be obedient. Right? Why do you obey your parents to begin with? Fear. Correct? You obey your parents because they know, you know there's going to be punishment if you don't. But when you become an adult, why do you help your parents? Because your relationship has grown. It's now about love. It's now about obedience to them because you love them. We serve God because we love Him. We love Him because He first loved us. Jesus was faithful to His Father. There are two occasions, remember, that God called out from heaven to Jesus Christ, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. The first was at His baptism. The second's at His transfiguration. Both of those showed that Jesus was all in. He was going to do the will of His Father. He was committed to being obedient. He was committed to being committed, if you will. In John 6, 38, Jesus reminds us there that He was all about fulfilling the will of God. Isn't that what it's all about? I hope you accomplish some pretty neat things on this earth. I really do. If that's your desire, if your desire is to set out and you've got goals and they're godly goals here on this earth, I hope you're able to accomplish them. But at the end of the day, they really don't matter. We are here. Our purpose is to serve God. Our purpose is to devote ourselves to His will. So if we're going to be living stones, we must live like Jesus Christ. To live like Jesus, we need to be consistent in worship, in prayer, in studying of God's Word. You know what else God has called us to be? Not only faithful in our relationship with Him, but even faithful when trials come our way. Again, we're talking about living a life now, a journey of life of obedience and commitment. So when trials come our way, we still have to be faithful. James 1, 2, and 3. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Sometimes that's hard to think about, though, isn't it? Trials are not fun. Struggles are not fun. But that's where the growth really comes in. If we have faith in God, Okay? When we are constantly working on our relationship with God, growing in prayer, growing in study, growing in worship, when we're doing that, guess what? When the trials come our way, our faith will still be strong. We'll be full of faith. Remember in Philippians 2 verse 8, Jesus was going to suffer. Remember that's the famous passage, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Paul's talking there, but you remember what he said? He said he came to serve. And he served, and he became obedient. Obedient to the point of death. The death of the cross. When God told him, "Jesus, it's time." Remember now, the Bible tells us he came at just the right time. And so there was a time when God said, "Hey, son, I need you to go to earth, become a man, and go to the cross. Now's the time." So when Jesus was obedient to that, and he came to this earth, remember, he knew what his destination was. He knew there was coming a point in time when he would bear the sins of the world, when he would take it all on, when he would die to overcome death and to overcome sin. He understood that the trials were coming, and he still did it. And he had the faith to get through because he worked on his life, his whole life, being obedient and committed to God. True faithfulness is demonstrated not when life is easy, but when the heat is turned up. You think about it. Some of your greatest growing experiences, if you've had some time as a Christian, they have come, when you look back on it, when you were going through a struggle. That's when you grew the most. You know why? Because it's in the struggles we fully rely on Him. When things are easy, sometimes it's hard to fully rely on God. Why? Because things are good. I've got this. Life is easy. Everything's great. Got money in the checking account. Got a great family. Got great health. Got great everything. Everything's good. So guess what? I am just going to coast a little bit. That's when we got to still strengthen and discipline ourselves. But in those trials, it's all about, "God, I can't do this. God, I can't get through it." And when we do get through it, doesn't that show how great our faith is? But also in talking about this, again, our relationship with God, we have to be faithful in. We got to be faithful through trials. We also got to be faithful in serving others. Again, if we're going to live like Jesus, we got to be faithful when it comes to serving others. Galatians 6, verse 9. "Let us not grow weary." Very important verse. "Let us not grow weary of doing what? Good." You know what they said about Jesus, shortest biography in the Bible? He went about doing good. "Let us not grow weary," Paul said, "of doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up." Jesus was a servant. We know that. He came to serve, not to be served. He washed those disciples' feet, as we talked about. He served others. He healed the sick. He made the lame walk. He did so many amazing, wonderful things. In fact, he did so many great things. John said the world itself couldn't contain the volume of books that it would take to record all those things. All we know is what he did in 3 years, really. And he did a lot of great things. But through it all, do you think there was ever a time when he was tempted to say, "Man, I'm just too tired today"? Listen, I don't have insight to that, but I almost could guarantee you that Satan tempted that with him. "Oh, I can't help this person today. I'm tired." You know he would get tired because he would get on a boat, and even though there was a storm, he could sleep through it because he was totally in control. But he was tired. He was exhausted. He did so many things. But he always did them. He always thought of others ahead of himself. And that's who we have to be. We are called to be reliable. We are called to be compassionate. We are called to be selfless when it comes to serving. Being faithful. There has to be a lifetime of obedience and commitment. Number two, being faith-filled. Let's talk about being faith-filled. That's trusting in God's power and His promises. When it comes to trusting in God, the first thing that I have here that we need to be filled of faith on and trust in is God's provision. Jeff, again, read to us from Matthew 6. Verse 33 is really it in a nutshell. He's got to come first. God in the kingdom, God in the church, they must come first. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. See, that's provision. God says, I'm going to provide. I'm going to take care of you. And so if you will providentially let me take care of you, all I need you to do is follow me. I mean, in that passage, He talked about the birds of the air. He talked about the lilies of the field. Have you ever seen anything like that? God said, Jesus literally said, the birds, they have plenty of food to eat. God provides it for them. Do they have to go harvest it? Yes. But He provides it. The lilies of the field didn't ask to be arrayed as such as that, more beautiful, more handsome, however you want to say it, than Solomon in all his days. And Solomon had some fancy stuff. Don't we need those reminders sometimes? Don't we need a reminder just to say, hey, God's got this? Man, I know I do. I know I need that reminder. Hey, Terry, God's got this. We try to live our life, our family does, by Romans 8:28. For we what? No. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. What a great passage, right? If I can live my life that way, okay, God's got this. And if I put Him first, as Matthew 6:33 says, and I put the kingdom first, then He's going to take care of it. Now, sometimes to take care of it is no, right? God, I need you to do this. Well, the answer is no, it's not going to be done. You don't need that in your life, Terry. Or it might be, hey, not right now. It's coming, but just not right now. Just be patient with me. But that's what being filled with faith understands, that God's got it. Jesus taught complete dependence on God, right? He fed the multitudes, He calmed the storms, and He completely trusted in the Father. You remember when He prayed in John 17 that we are one, just as He and the Father are one. That's how faithful Jesus wants to be. That's how much filled with faith He wants us to have. When we are faith-filled, we trust that God will provide everything we need. Secondly, under being faith-filled, trusting in God's power and promises, we've got to trust. This is a hard one now. I'm just going to warn you. Trust in His timing. Hebrews 11, verse 1. You know it, right? Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction or evidence of things not seen. Boy, it's hard sometimes to trust God's timing. God exists outside of time. We exist inside of time. God has, again, He's able to see it all, right? He knows everything that's going to happen in our lives. We don't have that luxury. And so I think He understands sometimes when we struggle with patience or struggle with relying on Him. You know, again, I've told you before, and I'm always going to be open with you. I have a great prayer life, and sometimes when I've wanted things to work out my way, I've gone to war with God. Not in a disrespectful way, but God, hey, we're trying to do things the right way. Why are you not revealing this? Why are you not showing this? Why are you not... And you know what happens every time? He's like, just understand I've got it. And it's going to happen in my time. And it's going to happen in my way. And it's going to be phenomenal. Can't you relate to that? But man, sometimes it'd be great, right, to have that crystal ball where we could see a little bit. But then sometimes I think I'd be scared to death about it. But God's timing, we've got to completely rely on it. And it's done through faith. It's being filled with faith. We strengthen our faith by trusting that God's timing is perfect. You know, I could tell you a lot of stories today where I tried to rush God's timing. Guess what? I didn't change anything. Sometimes I created debt. Sometimes I created more struggles. But in the end, God's timing was always perfect. And I would imagine you can relate to that as well. When we fully trust in God, when we're filled with faith and we rely on Him, and we have faith in His providence, and we have faith in His timing, then we understand that that is what being filled with faith really means. Thirdly, under this point, faith in God's power. Boy, He's powerful. Mark 11, 22 through 24, have faith in God. Whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. That's powerful. How powerful is God? You remember the story, the preacher's story of the man who tried to challenge God in creating man? And so God takes dirt, and He breathes into it life, and He makes another man. The man goes to pick up dirt and do the same thing. God said, uh-uh, get your own dirt. I mean, when we think of creation, He's done it all. There's no other way that it could happen but through God. He spoke all of that into existence. That's power. Take a look on a night when you look up in the sky, and recently the elders and myself, we all had this opportunity, and we were out in the country, and we looked up in the sky, and it was so beautiful. You could see all the stars. You could see constellations, and you can see all of these things. And even though these stars light up the sky, they're millions of miles away, right? God knows all the number of them. He placed each one. And He spoke it into existence. And then man did the impossible. Not the impossible, but the wrong thing. Man separated himself from God. God created us in the garden. He spoke it into existence. And He said, I want you to take and multiply Eden throughout this world. That was Adam and Eve's job. They fouled it up. They brought separation into their lives. Then God did the impossible. God brought us back. Whatever man separated through Adam, Jesus Christ made whole again through Himself and His life. That's power. Let me tell you what power is. He was dead on the cross. He didn't pass out. He wasn't so depleted that he couldn't talk, he couldn't function. You know, there's a thought process out there. Jesus didn't really die on the cross. How silly is that? He died. In fact, when they pierced his side, he was already dead. They didn't break his legs because he was already dead. They pierced his side and out separated the blood, separated from the water, which shows that he was dead. And so they take him down off that cross and they put him into a borrowed tomb, dead. 3 days later, though, power happened. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, raised Himself from the dead. Think about that. That's power. That type of power is what we've got to trust in. And that shouldn't be hard, but it is sometimes. Sometimes we struggle to trust in that power. Jesus performed miracles, but He also marveled at the faith of others. Matthew 8:10 and Luke 7:9. You remember that story of the centurion he's talking about there? He marveled at that man's faith. This is God in the flesh, the power of Jesus walking on water, raising people from the dead. But He also marveled. That's who God wants us to trust in. that type of power. When we are filled with faith or faith-filled, our prayer life is bold. I love what the disciples did, Peter and John and others. After they had been beaten, you remember that? They were beaten and they were told, do not teach in the name of Jesus Christ ever again. That's when Peter told them, John told them, hey, do what you have to do, but we can't help it. But once they severely threatened them and they sent them on their way, they rallied the troops back together. You remember that, right? They rallied them back together and they got into the room and they started praying. You remember how they prayed? They prayed with boldness. Why? Because they were filled with faith. In that prayer, you know what they didn't pray for? They didn't pray for God to strike dead all their enemies. They didn't pray for God to make their path easy. They prayed for God to grant them boldness so they could keep teaching in the name of Jesus Christ. It was so powerful, it shook the whole place. When you are faith-filled, when I am faith-filled, our prayer life is bold. You know why? Because then we know God is able. God is always able. Thirdly, this morning, let's talk about then. We understand we're going to be faithful. We're going to be filled with faith. Now let's talk about strengthening our faith. We got to grow daily in Jesus Christ. If you're not growing daily, if I'm not growing daily in Jesus Christ, then our faith is not where it needs to be. Simple as that. How do we do that? Probably some of these are going to be obvious to us, right? Number one, if I were to ask you, you would tell me, hey, we gotta hear and we gotta study the Word of God. Romans 10:17 is where we get that from. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If we're not in the book, then our faith isn't growing. I can't make it any plainer than that. If you are not studying your Bible, if you have a preacher who is not studying his Bible, then what are we doing? I tell you, I'm going to study mine. I'm convicted in my heart. I want my faith to grow. I want to be faithful, but I also want to be filled with faith. But I still recognize I got to strengthen it more. The Bible is fascinating. To be able to look at it and see God's plan come together. You know, this past Wednesday, I had the privilege of teaching at Spiritual Enrichment that morning. And my subject was salt and light. And I mentioned this in class this morning. But it's things like this. You know, salt and light, we know that story very well. Jesus said, be salt of the earth, light of the world, right? We could get up and we could talk about salt preserves. We need to preserve the Word of God. Salt, remember they didn't have refrigeration, so they would soak their meat and stuff in salt to preserve it. When that salt lost its saltiness, they threw it out in the street and walked on it. It was trash at that point. But also salt seasons. You know, we need to season this world. We need to be that flavor of the world. Jesus Christ is attractive. Christianity is attractive. We need to make it look that way. People ought to want what we have. Then we could talk about light. Light expels darkness, right? The absence of light is darkness. And so we could get up and we could teach that. But what I wanted to do is kind of take the not only the class, but what I believe Jesus did. I wanted to take the reader's minds back to stories of the Old Testament, because that's how Jesus worked. Do you remember when Jericho was defeated? It was a great city and powerful city. They marched around it six times, 6 days straight, once a day, seventh day, seven times, made the noise, the walls fell, they went in and they took the city, right? Well, after that, the city was never the same. Later on, people got together and they built it back a little bit, but the water was bad. The water was bad, and so Elisha, Double portion of Elijah's spirit, remember? Elisha the prophet after Elijah. The people say, hey, the water's bad. It's causing miscarriages is what it was doing. The women were miscarrying their children and the animals were miscarrying their offspring. And so it was causing issues. And so they pleaded with Elisha, please make the water good. God, use salt. You see, I'm not saying Jesus necessarily had that story in mind, but that's how he worked. He would point the people back to stories they were familiar with under the old law. You know why he would do things like that? Because it's perfect harmony. It's perfect harmony to let the Bible harmonize together. It's the most beautiful book ever written. It's incredible to think of the stories of the Old Testament, how they all impacted the people to get to the New Testament, to get to Jesus Christ. It's a puzzle that fits so perfectly together. And if you and I are not studying it, we don't know the outcome and our faith is weak. You are in danger if you're not studying this, if I'm not studying this, we are in danger of being tossed to and fro with every kind of wind of doctrine. Somebody's going to come along your way if you're not studying this and knowing this, and they're going to say, hey, listen to this way, it's real easy. And you're going to be like, oh, that sounds good. And you're going to follow that way. Well, then that's going to leave you weak, and you're going to follow another way. Why? Because you don't know His way. Your faith is not where it needs to be if we are not studying God's Word. Jesus taught that His words are spirit and life, John 6:63. You got to commit to it. If you want a strong faith, if you want your faith to be strengthened, you got to commit to regular Bible study. Secondly, if we're going to grow daily in Christ, we got to walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The flesh is strong. The flesh wants sin. You know, it's that situation where you know the chocolate cake is really good, right? You know how good it's going to taste because sugar tastes good and you put some cocoa in it and it makes chocolate and it tastes really good. And so maybe you think, hey, if I just have one little piece, it's not going to hurt me. But one little piece turns into two, turns into three, turns into, hey, you might eat the whole thing. And that's not healthy, right? We understand that. Sin's the same way. Again, I'm not, chocolate cake, and you're not going to be a sinner. I'm not saying that. But the point is, that's how sin works. We know it tastes good. We know it feels good. We know it looks good. Now, if you know, a little bit's not going to hurt me, and we hover around that little bit, and that little bit turns into a little more little bit, and that little bit turns into a lot of bit, and now we're separated from God. See, that's how the flesh works. It wants it, so go get it. But that's not how the Spirit works. The Spirit helps us discern. The Spirit helps us know. And when we trust the Spirit and we walk in the Spirit, we're not going to seek after the things of the flesh. Jesus lived by the Spirit. Yeah, and that's who we're to be like. We got to be Spirit-led. Faith is strengthened when we live according to the will of God, which we know through the Spirit. Thirdly, we got to practice what we believe. James 2:17. So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. You can have all the faith in the world, but if you're not allowing it to lead you to do something, to be active, then that faith is dead. Jesus acted on faith. And we must too. We got to serve, we got to evangelize, we got to trust. Active faith is what it takes. If I have a cold, been there, done that. Let's say I have the flu, been there, done that. And I go to the doctor and they say, hey, I'm going to give you a shot. I want you to take this certain pill that helps you with congestion. And I'm going to give you this flu pill. I don't even know the name of it. And I'm going to give you some cough medicine. And I go to the doctor and I give my copay and I take the shot and I go get all these prescriptions and I look at them and I'm like, man, these things can really help me get better. I believe they can, but I'm just going to leave them right here. That's not wise. Right? Oh, but I got faith. I got faith. Well, I got to take it. I got to consume it, right? If I've got faith that it's going to lead me to take it. It's the same with our real faith, our spiritual faith. Do I believe that God can do this? Then let me be active with it. Finally, if we're going to strengthen our faith, grow daily in Christ, we've got to surround ourselves with other faithful people. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. Talked about this when we talked about fellowship. We got to surround ourselves with people that will challenge us and encourage us. Not people that are going to bring us down. Now listen, we all have to be around non-Christians, right? How do we evangelize if we're not around non-Christians? How do we lead people to Christ if we don't associate with those who are sinners and non-Christians? But the rule of thumb should be this. Am I bringing them up or are they bringing me down? That's what the Bible says. Evil companionship corrupts good morals. You know, teenagers need to hear that. Are the friends that I have right now, are they bringing me up? Am I bringing them up or are they bringing me down? If they're bringing you down, you need to associate with different people. Boyfriends, girlfriends, right? Is this guy I'm dating, girls, bringing me down or am I bringing them up? Or are we strengthening one another? Vice versa. Adults, we do the same thing when it comes to our friends and people we associate with. Why is that important? Because if they are bringing me down, then I'm not strengthening my faith. Jesus surrounded himself with his disciples. Now, he encouraged them and he built them up. But there were moments when they really encouraged him as well. Fellowship strengthens faith. Fellowship strengthens accountability. As we conclude, we've talked a lot today about faith. We talked about what it means to be faithful and faith-filled, and then what it takes to strengthen that faith. Faithfulness is going to be consistency in being devoted, being obedient, and serving others. Being filled with faith means we're going to trust in God's power. We're going to trust in His timing. We're going to trust in His promises. Again, strengthening His faith. It requires hearing, studying His Word, walking in the Spirit, acting on our beliefs, and surrounding ourselves with good people. You know what the goal is? The goal is the Apostle Paul. I love the life of Paul. Paul was such a great man. He wrote to Timothy a couple letters. He knew in his second letter to Timothy that any day they could come and take his head. He'd been in prison, guilty of teaching in the name of Jesus Christ. Any day they could come and take his life. But he said this to Timothy, Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And listen to this last part. I have kept the faith. That's got to be our goal. It's got to be who we are. When our life is over, When it's time for us to depart, whether that's by death or Jesus Christ returning to this earth some sweet day, returning to take us home, have we been able to say, I finished the race and I've kept the faith? Today, if you haven't started your faith journey, if you haven't been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, why not today? Why would you not? Why would you not want to be immersed in water, contacting the blood of Jesus, having your sins washed away, receiving the gift of the Spirit, to come up, being added to the kingdom, the institution that's the greatest of all time, the church of our Lord? Maybe you are here today. Somewhere along the way, you quit being faithful. You quit being filled with faith. You quit strengthening your faith. Maybe there's a sin that got in the way publicly, and you need to respond of it. Maybe you just need prayers. Maybe you just need encouragement. Maybe you need to do it in your seat. Hey, I can't promise you tomorrow we'll have this opportunity, but we can promise right now. Now's the time for opportunity. Now's the time to take advantage as together we stand and sing.